Yes, the federal government decided this week, I think we all know, to walk away from any GST hike. Did you notice that maybe for the first time during this round of tax reform discussion this past week, we had some decent information about some central ideas behind tax? What taxes prompt economic activity? What stifles it? What distorts it? And of course, we now know that the modelling evidently showed a bigger GST didn't really help us once you took into account the related questions of equity and compensation. But remember, we're a federation, and the federal government has ripped out $80 billion from state budgets over the next 10 years. So some of the states are considering tax changes to shore up their ability to pay, in particular, for schools and hospitals, vital services, growing services. The looming funding gap for the states and territories is not perilous while stamp duty windfalls are earning them a fortune, as they are in, say, New South Wales and Victoria. But clearly, longer-term solutions are required. Well, the ACT's been leading the way in small part by phasing out stamp duty and introducing gradually a land tax as part of its tax reforms. The ACT Chief Minister Andrew Barr joins us now to discuss this. Good morning.
Good morning.
Why is the ACT taking this decision?
Well, we took this decision back in 2012 to commence a range of tax reforms, and one of them certainly has been the switch away from stamp duty towards a more stable form of revenue. We've done that because we too have experienced the roller coaster of stamp duty revenues going up and coming down, and it makes it very difficult to plan for and properly fund ongoing expenses like the running of hospitals and schools when you have such variability in your revenue streams. The other driving factor for us was to remove distortions in our housing market. We just think it's fundamentally unfair to hit people with very large tax bills, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, when they need to move house. For example, if they've had another baby and they need a bigger house.
Land tax is very visible and difficult to ignore. Was that also part of what drove you?
Yes, to be very clear, it's very hard to avoid paying land tax. It's land can't run away from a tax. It's there, and our system in the ACT has both a fixed charge, which is set for all residential properties, and then a series of marginal tax rates that increase relative to the value of the land. So we have a very progressive system in the ACT where those who sit on the most valuable land and often have the largest blocks, so some of the more substantial houses in Canberra's inner suburbs pay a lot more in their rates than do those people, for example, who live in apartments or those who live in Canberra's outer suburbs. So it's very progressive, very fair and very simple system that delivers predictable revenue to the territory government each year, and it's great economic advantages of all of the taxes that we levy. It's the one that least distorts economic activity.
Well, yes, that does seem to be what is emerging from the modelling, but I recall in New South Wales some years back when there was some talk about this, that in fact it caused an uproar from older people who were maybe the recipients of capital gain that they'd never actually experienced, so it was their children who were going to get it, frankly, when they died. And there was uproar that a lot of these people had no cash flow because they were out of the workforce, but they were sitting on what were potential gold mines, but they would have had to move in order to afford the tax. And that was deemed to be very unfair.
So we've sought to address that in a number of ways. Firstly, by phasing in the change over two decades. So there are small increases in our land taxes each year, and they offset the cuts to stamp duty that are occurring each year. We also have very significant concessions for pensioners and those who hold various Commonwealth concession cards. That gives, or certainly ameliorates against the impact. But we also allow people to defer their rates altogether. So effectively they can pay nothing and just put push those particular costs onto the estate at the end, so that yes, when the capital gain is realised at the end, the various amounts that are owing to government can be paid then. And we do that at a very low rate of interest.
It's so, a bit like a reverse mortgage.
Indeed.
Do you end up with more money over the long term in your coffers?
Not the way we're undertaking reform, because we're also simultaneously abolishing all tax on insurance products in the ACT. So people won't be paying tax on insurance, on their home contents, on their motor vehicle, on any business or professional indemnity insurance or the like. So we're phasing out that tax, and that will be completely gone on the 1st of July this year. We've also been cutting our payroll taxes in order to remove small businesses from our payroll tax net, and we just focus our payroll taxes on the large national and multinational companies that operate in Canberra. Now, that's an economic development agenda of my government to support small business in the ACT. So we've been removing three taxes simultaneously. We're wanting to ensure that we do this in a gradual way. So it's been in five-year tax reform packages. So we're about to complete the first of those, and I'll be announcing the second 5 years of that reform in our territory budget in June.
Now, another question, who does the underlying assessment of the value? Because that's clearly a very important consideration in all of this.
Indeed. So we have in the ACT a rolling three-year average of unimproved land value, and that's undertaken by our valuation office. That is updated every year, but the impact of a change in valuation is averaged out over a rolling three-year period.
And that's all public, like people
indeed,
can exit?
Indeed, yes. Right. And then there are different tax rates, effectively, that relate to the different value of land. But everyone pays a fixed charge of $730.
And have you seen any distinct change, any patterns in this 3 years since you've been introducing this? Have you had, you know, a significant number of people sell up and move to cheaper residences?
Well, we certainly have also been encouraging, through other specific incentives, downsizing, so giving $20,000 stamp duty cuts to eligible pensioners and people over the age of 60, as well as to first home buyers. So in the ACT, if you're eligible and you're purchasing a new property, for example, your stamp duty will be as low as $20. Now, that compares in the Sydney market, for example, for some people who would be paying $40,000 or $50,000.
Goodness me. So you can have a wholesale migration.
It's a very significant change. And what we are seeking to do is get a more efficient allocation of housing. What we're also encouraging is the supply of new housing as well, to improve housing affordability. So all of these policies come together with the release of new land, and with an urban renewal agenda to see more people located or living in Canberra's CBD and along our major transport corridors, to a big boost in the supply of housing and making it much more affordable for people.
Now, you must be pretty popular with all this, particularly with that stamp duty, which is a widely despised tax, isn't it? It's also nominated by the Commonwealth Treasury as Australia's least efficient tax.
Well, look, yes, there are many fans of this policy. I will also acknowledge there are others who who aren't such strong supporters. I guess it depends on where in the property cycle you are and how recently you paid stamp duty. But for those who are looking to enter into the property market for the first time, the savings are very significant. The goal here is to eliminate stamp duty in the ACT over the next couple of decades.
Yes, I notice South Australia is also considering the switch to land taxes. Do you know yet whether it provides more income than stamp duty when stamp duty is averaged out?
Well, look, we've been tracking it year on year, and we've attempted to maintain revenue neutrality. What we have been seeing as stamp duty has been falling is the volume of transactions have been picking up a little.
Really?
So it is doing what you would expect it to do in terms of removing a barrier for people moving house. So that's encouraging to see that. But we also think that another factor there is a rebound in Canberra's housing market. Our city's been through a tough few years. years. We lost 3% of our workforce through all the public sector job cuts. So we're turning the corner on that. And so we are seeing a rebound in our housing market, and that's being reinforced by these stamp duty cuts.
So are you saying that this tax discussion has slightly ameliorated the depression that was felt in the wake of the Abbott government cuts?
Well, certainly our modelling has demonstrated that there would be a benefit, a net benefit to our economy by undertaking this tax change. So it would help enhance economic growth. It would be a fairer system over time.
And has it been a decent conversation, if I can put it, ask you like that?
Oh, look, it's been a very lively debate in Canberra. I first introduced this policy prior to our 2012 election, and so we had a very strong public debate on that. And the government was re-elected with an increased majority. So our primary vote went up, and that is perhaps unusual in the context of elections forward on issues around tax reform.
Yes, and of course there's nothing to stop you making increases in the land tax. Like, once you get it in, you can move it up and down, can't you? Up.
Well, certainly governments would have that flexibility. The challenge, of course, is that you move it up too far, then it will have an impact on, well, there's, it has a political impact, but it would also have an impact ultimately on your economy. So we need to get the balance right. But given all of the taxes that we have at our disposal, surely we should use the fairest, the simplest and the most economically efficient. That's what we're doing. So we're moving away from the bad taxes and moving to the least worst taxes that we have available to us. It doesn't, however, completely solve the challenge of health and education funding into the future, and that will remain an issue in the ACT as much as it is in every other state and territory.
Thank you very much indeed for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
ACT Chief Minister Andrew Barr, and look out for more on Tax Today from the opposition leader, apparently on negative gearing and capital gains.